learn English. Welcome everyone. I'm really happy to see you today. Few things before we will start. First, this is the schedule for today. Most of it is in Hebrew, but I understand you know Hebrew, so okay. Did you hear about Mahon Schlesinger, about Schlesinger Institute?
No, explain a little bit about it.
Okay. A great entertainer, Gemiotti.
Okay.
Gila will translate for that way. Mahon Schlesinger is a Mahon Mechkar Benosim של רפואה והלכה. שבעצם יש לנו שלושה, ארבעה דברים עיקריים שבהם אנחנו מתעסקים. דבר ראשון הוא הנושא של החינוך, שבעצם כמו שאתם הגעתם לכאן היום מגיעות קבוצות נוספות, שבעצם מקבלות ימי עיון, סמינרים וכולי, בנושאים החמים של רפואה והלכה, כמו שאתם הולכים לעשות היום בנושא שבת. יש נושאים נוספים של תחילת החיים, כמו פוריות, של סוף החיים, כמו קביעת רגע המוות והשתלות איברים וכולי וכולי, עוד נושאים מעניינים בתחום הזה.
שנייה, אוקיי. So Mahon Schlesinger is a research center. They do research on topics of medical ethics and halakha. One of the things they focus on is education piece. So they have schools and day seminars for university students like us, or for teachers, for doctors, for rabbis, for all sorts of people, all people that are dealing with medical ethics, come through here, and they deal with topics like working out the time of death, which we'll hear about later. They work out the start of life, like IVF, and all these different issues relating to that, and issues relating to Shabbat, which is what we're going to hear about mostly today.
Okay. דבר נוסף שמאוד כדאי שתדעו עליו הוא פרויקט השו"ת שלנו. יש לנו פרויקט שדרך האתר שלנו ניתן להיכנס ולשאול שאלות, כל שאלה בנושא שקשור לרפואה והלכה, ולקבל בתוך שבוע תשובה מהרבנים הפוסקים הכי גדולים בתחום.
They've got another big focus of Mahon Schlesinger. They've got a website that you can send in different shutim, and they say that within a week they'll have an answer sent back to the rav or whoever it is sending in the question.
Okay, ודבר נוסף הוא הפרסומים שלנו. יש לנו חוברת אסיה, באנגלית, Jewish Medical Ethics. וכן ספרים רבים באנציקלופדיה ברפואה והלכה, נשמת אברהם. אם אתם מעוניינים תוכלו לראות את הכל באינטרנט, באתר שלנו, ואפשר לחלק להם את זה.
And they also do a lot of publications. They've got an encyclopedia they put out, they've got a magazine in medical ethics. And you can look at it on their website. They've got a great website.
Okay. ועוד דבר שאולי יכול לעניין אתכם בעתיד, זו תוכנית שיש לנו שמיועדת לסטודנטים לרפואה מרחבי העולם, לא רק לרפואה, מגיעים גם סטודנטים שמתעסקים בתחומים של ביואתיקה. כל מי שמתעסק איכשהו בתחום של רפואה והלכה יכול להגיע לתוכנית הזאת, וזה הסלייד הזה.
Okay. So they also have a summer program, נכון? It's summer, נכון? Mm-hmm. They have a summer program that is for anyone that's interested in these topics, not only pre-med, she was saying, anyone that's dealing with this, and that's this flyer, and so we actually saw the curriculum. It's a very, very full curriculum.
Okay.
Yeah. The full summer program. So anyone's got questions, can either ask Yael now, or she'll email with you. You can email Yael in English, and she'll answer you back in...
No, I can answer.
You answer back in English. So you can email Yael about it.
Okay, and... the first lecturer for today is Professor Alevi, the director of Shari Tzedek.
Okay. Okay, good afternoon, or good morning, and welcome to Shari Tzedek. Do we need this mic? Not sure. I think I speak. You want it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, welcome to Shere Tzedek, and it's a pleasure to have you here. I think we never had such a big group. Am I right? Yeah, okay. How many of you are medical students? Just to raise your hand, you don't have to be bashful about it.
And not currently.
Okay. None of the girls? Pre-med school. So how many of you are pre-med school? Okay, are there any who are not in the medical training arena? Okay, I just wanted to know how much to be particular about pure medical aspects. Okay, so my name is Yonatan Alevi. I'm a professor of medicine and gastroenterology at the Hebrew University Hadassah Medical School. And I run this hospital as director general for the last almost 22 years. This is a unique hospital, as you know. I am sure that from the material that you saw abroad, probably on the internet, you selected to come and to join this group and to spend with us some time because you knew that there are few unique aspects to our hospital, to Shaare Tzedek Medical Center. I would like to start by telling you a little bit about the history of the hospital, which has to do with our topic today. The narrow definition of the topic is Shabbat in Shaare Tzedek. The wider topic is Shaare Tzedek at large, and especially the religious aspects of Shaare Tzedek. So the hospital was founded by a group of German and Dutch Jews, all of them Orthodox, most of them from the school of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who convened in Frankfurt in 1873 and decided that Jerusalem of that time needed a modern hospital outside the walls of the old city. There were few infirmaries, Bikur Cholim, Misgav Ladach, within the walls of the old city at that time, at the entrance to the last quarter of the 19th century, but there was no modern hospital in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem of that time had a Muslim majority with around 10,000 Jews, and this group of people decided to fundraise and open an ultra-modern hospital that A, will be open to everyone who lives in the area, B, will be run according to the Jewish law. It took them 29 years, from 1873 to 1902, to fundraise and build our old facility. Some pictures from that facility you can see on both sides of the room. It took them 29 years to build a magnificent building on Jaffa Road, which served the hospital up until 1978. And in the last 30 years or 32 years, we are in this facility. But for over 70 years, the old building of the hospital, which could not accommodate us anymore after 70 years. It is now an historical building, has to be preserved. It was preserved very nicely, and it houses today the Israeli Broadcast Authority headquarters, and it's not far from here, about a mile and a quarter from our present location across the street from Mount Herzl. As I said, in the bylaws, there are many, many clauses, but the two significant ones to this lecture is that A, the hospital will serve everybody and will run an absolutely non-discriminatory approach towards staff and patients alike, and the second one is that forever, the hospital will be run according to halakha, according to Jewish law. Now I stand before you 108 years after the hospital opened its gates. Actually, it's almost exactly 108 years because the first day that this hospital admitted patients was on Tu Bishvat of 1902. We are 3 weeks away from Tu Bishvat, so in this Tu Bishvat, it will be 108 years. And the question is, if today an ultra-modern hospital, and Shaare Tzedek is an ultra-modern hospital that serves the Jerusalem community in particular, the Israeli community at large, with a significant aspect of medical tourism, patients coming from abroad as well, we serve the community with almost everything that modern medicine has to offer. I say almost because no hospital in the world can practice everything that modern medicine has to offer. Modern medicine is characterized by many unique aspects. Some of them I will discuss later, but one of them is the diversity. Many people say over-diversity, specialization, sub-specialization, sub-sub-specialization, and no hospital in the world can excel in everything or can even offer the public everything. But I can say that the vast array and spectrum of services that are being practiced in this building today really entitles us for the statement that we serve the community with almost everything that modern medicine has to offer. And the question is being asked, if such an ultra-modern hospital that endorses every aspect of modern technology can really be run in 2010 according to our ancient Jewish law. And at the outset, I will tell you that the answer is definitely positive. And this is the unique aspect of the hospital. Now, there are other hospitals in Israel that are considered to be religious hospitals, without inverted commas, that are really also makpidim on halacha, on the Jewish law, but none of them has the size of Shaarei Tzedek and the diversity of services of Shaarei Tzedek. Now, one of the characteristics of modern medicine is that it is saturated, embedded with ethical dilemmas of the highest degree. And when I say ethical dilemmas, they are not related directly to Jewish ethical halachic dilemmas. Every physician in the world, and those of you who are in pre-med school or in medical school, will definitely encounter these problems within few years. Every physician around the world copes with ethical dilemmas right and left. They did not exist in medicine of not only 108 years ago, even of 30 and 40 years ago. Just to bring you some examples, again, of ethical dilemmas. An ethical dilemma can be solved halachically or can be solved non-halachically, according to other bioethical philosophies and not the Jewish law. And the ethical dilemmas are everywhere. To bring you a few examples, if we start from the beginning of the circle of life to the end of life, one of the dilemmas that you are all Americans or from other countries too? Canada? That's America, more or less. North America, okay? Other places? So you know that President Bush banned stem cell research. He banned stem cell research because the source, the most accessible source for stem cells, are fertilized embryo that were fertilized in the test tube, in vitro fertilization, from couples who had fertility problems, and these embryos will never be used, because when we do an IVF procedure to a couple who suffers from infertility problems, we usually aspirate 10, 15, or 20 ovaries, eggs, from the woman, and we use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, according to the number of children that the couple wants and according to the success rate. But we are left with fertilized embryos that will never be used. And they serve as the most excellent source for stem cell research. Christianity, especially Catholicism, that claims that the beginning of life is when the sperm meets the egg, the ovum, will never use it. That's why the biggest tzaddik on earth, your former president, Bush, banned stem cell research. According to Judaism, Masechet Sotah, life starts when the embryo is 40 days old. Before that, it is defined as water. So stem cell research from fertilized embryos is absolutely allowed, according to Jewish law, even according to the most machmirim poskim. That's why we have a huge stem cell research laboratory at Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. If you go on to the in vitro fertilization procedure itself, surrogate motherhood which is allowed everywhere in the world, is not allowed according to halacha. So we have no surrogate motherhood in our in vitro fertilization unit in Shaarei Tzedek. And then we can go on and on with ethical dilemmas that can be solved halachically or non-halachically. The stem cell research problem, Bush solved it non-halachically, banning it. We solved it halachically, allowing it. And vice versa on other issues. The definition of death, brain death. The approach to the dying patient, when withdrawal of life support system is allowed, and the answer is never. When one can avoid connecting a patient to life support system, there are halachic criteria for that, which are beyond the scope of this lecture. Also, I don't see myself as a man of halacha or man who is authorized to teach you the halachic aspects of rulings in the medical field. I'm a medical person, I'm a director of a hospital that is run according to halacha. And that's how I get to this subject. But not from the Talmid Chacham aspect, which I'm definitely not. So it's also beyond the scope of this lecture to give you, I also would like to concentrate more on the Shabbat. So after this introduction, what does it mean that an ultra-modern hospital is a dati hospital, is a religious hospital? A hospital is not a yeshiva. In Israel, you have two school systems, the secular, Batei Sefer Mamlachtiim, I'm sure some of you speak Hebrew, and Mamlachti Dati, the national religious schools. I'm the product of this school system in Israel. What's the difference between a religious school and a non-religious school? In a religious school, you daven every morning, and it's compulsory. You learn much more Judaic studies. You learn much more about our heritage, which you don't do in a Chiloni school, in a secular school. Does this apply to hospitals? In religious or non-religious hospitals, you treat the same human body, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem, so everybody who comes to your doorstep is being treated, regardless of gender, race, ethnicity, cultural group, color, and so on and so forth. So what does it mean that the hospital is religious? So I would like to discuss with you in the next 30 minutes or so, maybe to leave a few minutes for questions, three aspects that, in my view, comprise the notion of a religious hospital and apply to Shaarei Tzedek. And as I always say, you can imagine that I'm not giving this lecture for the first time. The three aspects differ among themselves. The first one is purely technical. The second one is very spiritual. And the third one is the most important. And I hope you will not condemn me for saying that this is the most important, with the most impact on the international medical community. The technical one, just to relieve your curiosity immediately, and then I will allude to each one of them. The first one is the kashrut at Shaarei Tzedek. The second one, the spiritual halachi, is the Shabbat in Shaarei Tzedek. And the third one is the research that we do on all these ethical dilemmas that characterize modern medicine and supply the world with the Jewish responsa to these ethical dilemmas. That's why I said that this is the most important. Does not come to say that Shabbat is not important. But Shabbat is Shabbat, Shabbat kvoda b'mkoma monach, whether we practice it at home or we practice it here in the hospital, and of course there is a difference. So to the first technical aspect, one could imagine, you know, I grew up as a Zionist religious Jew here in Israel, and the kashrut that I believe in the Israeli Rabbanut, this is the authority for me, otherwise I could not serve in the Israeli army, because the Hersher in the Israeli army is Hersher of the chief Rabbanut of Israel. If you don't believe, and this is not kosher enough for you, you are immediately segregated in the Israeli society, you cannot serve in the army. So at home, I keep Rabbanut. At Shaarei Tzedek, we wanted everybody to be able to eat here without bringing food from home or using various kinds of associations and soup kitchens that bring to other hospitals in Israel food in order to satisfy the kashrut needs of people who do not rely on Rabbanut. So our Hechsher is the best Hechsher, it's Badatz, it costs a lot of money, because there are a lot of chumres, but this is part of the philosophy of the hospital. We don't want any patient here. And believe me, around 20% of our patients are Muslims. In the maternity is more than, is less than that, is about 10%. And they do not suffer from eating Badatz food. So actually, by keeping Badatz here, everybody can eat here. And that's the end of this technical aspect. The first aspect of us being a religious hospital. I will jump immediately to the third, because the bulk of my lecture will apply to the second. So the third I already mentioned. The Schlesinger Institute, named after one of my predecessors, Dr. Falk Schlesinger, Zichrono Livracha, is, I would say, a world-renowned production house or publishing house for responsa, for written material in Hebrew, Asia. That's the periodical that is published by Machon Schlesinger, by the Schlesinger Institute. In English, we have the Jewish Ethical Medical Ethics Journal, Jewish Medical Ethics Journal, which I'm proud to see when I go to Harvard or to Yale and I enter their medical libraries. You can find a copy of the recent copy of Jewish Medical Ethics there. So we serve the world with Jewish solutions to ethical dilemmas. I already elaborated on that. I'm very proud of that because every physician in the world needs it. The top researchers, the senior researchers at the Schlesinger Institute, Professor Avram Steinberg, Dr. Mordechai Alperin, Professor Avraham Sofer Avraham, those of you who are interested in Jewish medical ethics, I'm sure familiar with this name. Each one of these individuals published a lot, writes a lot on the subject. They are considered to be internationally recognized authorities on the subject. And it's amazing to see that when they travel the world, and I think the leading one is Professor Abraham Steinberg, who is also an Israel Prize laureate for his work on Jewish medical ethics. And I'm sure he's on your program, am I right? He's on your syllabus? Already gave his lecture or will give? If he didn't give, so you're still up for an experience, I can tell you that. And it's amazing to see that when he travels the world and lectures to non-Jewish audiences, how quick they are to endorse most of the Jewish halachic solutions to ethical dilemmas that are the business, so to speak, of every physician and nurse and medical personality around the world. So with this, I will finish with the third very important aspect, and I will switch to Shabbat. And again, at the outset of discussing this topic, I must emphasize, I am not posek halacha. I am not even qualified to bring to you the tzidei habaya, the arguments for or against a certain ruling regarding Shabbat in the hospital. I will lay before you few principles. I will tell you about the practice in Shaarei Tzedek. Then I will tell you about my personal view that differ from the views of our poskim. Not halachically, I'm talking about the hospital conduct. I will definitely make full disclosure on that. And I will conclude by saying that the hospital is an hierarchic institution. It's almost like the army. And I'm the chief commander. And I give the orders here. Except for how Jewish law, halacha, should be practiced. Here I'm a soldier, and I accept the ruling of the poskim. So if my personal view is a little bit different than the poskim, it is my task to convince them. As long as I did not convince them, and in a few minutes you will understand exactly what am I alluding to, I am going to observe it and keep it and impose it on the staff, and that's what's being done in Shaarei Tzedek. So what's all this mystery that I'm talking about? A simplistic approach to Shabbat in a hospital in general would claim a patient that comes to a hospital in Shabbat, 99% of the time will be chole sheyesh bo sakana. A patient who has pikuach nefesh, or at least safek pikuach nefesh. There are a few exceptions. if a patient is admitted for elective surgery, hernia surgery, gallbladder removal, he's under no acute distress, he did not come through the emergency room, he came to the hospital electively, a planned admission. This is not chole sheyesh bo sakana or safek sakana. But the reality is that these patients in modern medicine do not spend Shabbat in the hospital. If they have their surgery first thing Sunday morning, which you, in your places, never have elective surgery at that day, but we work regularly on Sunday, so he will come on Motzei Shabbat to be admitted. That's why I say that 99% of the patients are cholim sheyesh bahem sakana or safek sakana. The Hebrew term is well understood by everybody. So a simplistic approach would say, if the patients before us, ha-cholim ha-mutalim lefaneinu, they are patients with threat to their life, or even a doubt of a threat, safek pikuach nefesh, we are allowed to desecrate the Shabbat. Not only are we allowed, we are committed to desecrate the Shabbat for them. This is not true, because you have to look one by one on the melachot, the tasks that are being performed during Shabbat in a hospital, every hospital, not only Shaarei Tzedek. Not all of them relate directly or even indirectly to the well-being of the patient. So this simplistic approach of everything is pikuach nefesh, you don't have to observe Shabbat in the hospital, which is actually the approach of most hospitals in Israel. In most public hospitals in Israel, that's what they would say. And you will see physicians using the elevators as usual, and the white public uses the elevators as usual, and phones being used. It looks like Yom Chol. But again, if you look at the tasks, at the melachot that are performed on Shabbat, like warming the food for the patients, is there any relation to pikuach nefesh of the way you warm the food? And if you can operate electrical machinery in a way that is not chilul Shabbat midoraita, but shvut midrabanan, because you use the grammar principle, and I will not elaborate on explaining the grammar principle. You will have more authorized people to do it in your syllabus. So why not do it? Why not reduce the chumrah in order to abide by halakha that chole sheyesh bo sakana, shvut, אפשר לחלל עליו את השבת. So this is by being done big time in Shaarei Tzedek. Millions of dollars were invested in order to work out all the computers, EKG machines and machinery according to the grammar principles. We have four elevators on Shabbat that are Shabbos elevator for the public and for staff who are not in a hurry. But if a physician is on the second floor in the emergency room, and there is a code blue and he has to rush to the 10th floor to do resuscitation, he has two elevators at the side of the corridors that are functioning normally during Shabbat. So where is the controversy? So far it goes very smoothly. I laid before you the principle that not everything that is done during Shabbat in a hospital could be considered pikuach nefesh or safek pikuach nefesh, so we have to do it the halachic way, and not to be Mechalel Shabbat. Where is the controversy? Here it starts. According to the principles that are acceptable so far, I'm sure it will change in the future and I will explain myself, but so far, the psika of the poskim of Shaarei Tzedek, and we have here a Vadat Poskim, actually headed as a president by Rav Eliashiv, because in the bylaws of Shaarei Tzedek, from the late 19th century, it is stated that the posek of Shaarei Tzedek will come from the Eidah Haredit, from the ultra-Orthodox community in Jerusalem. So Rav Eliashiv is Rosh HaPoskim, and he appointed Vadat Halacha of two poskim under him. One is Rabbi Neuwirth Shlita, Yibadel Lechaim Arukim. You all know him from Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, I'm sure it was translated to English, that you learn it at school. And the other one is Rav Osher Weiss, an ex-American who is in Ramot, and I think definitely abides by the definition of one of the Gdoilim of our generation. And they do a lot of work, and their ruling so far is that everything that can be done by a Goy Shel Shabbat, by a Shabbos Goy, in the hospital without creating any situation of even a remote possibility of endangering life, of pikuach nefesh, should be done by a Shabbos goy. And that's where I differ. And maybe I differ because of anthropological reasons. Because I'm a Sabre. I grew up in the Jewish state. I was born 5 weeks after the declaration of statehood of Israel. And as I told you, I'm a product of the religious, national religious school system in Israel. And we learn that if you want to establish a Jewish Zionistic state, you have to be able to maintain all your services without using Shabbos Goy. Shabbos Goy is a galus term. How can you operate the Israeli army with Shabbos Goy? Do you want to be dependent for electrical supply from our power stations during Shabbat on Goy? So the same, in my view, it's not an halachic view, as I told you, it's a cultural view. The same view applies to hospitals. And I think the halachic solution should be found. And you can think today in modern era, computers operated by the Gramma principle, where when physicians do the rounds and they write the follow-up note, it will be written through a computer operated through the Gramma principle. And I'm sure we'll get to it. But right now, so far, for the last 108 years, every Friday afternoon, and I tour the hospital from top to bottom every Friday afternoon to say hello to the staff, to the patients, and when I step out 10 minutes before candle lighting, because that's the time that it takes me to get home from here, I see in the main lobby at the second floor of the hospital 60 Arab students from the Hebrew University. We select them very carefully. Many of them are Bedouins and Druze who served in the Israeli army. So their loyalty is more guaranteed than others, but not all of them. They undergo certain training, a few hours of training with, you know, very elementary medical writing and about the hospital. And these 60, what we call them Katvanei Shabbat, the Shabbos going, when candle lighting comes, they just spread all over the hospital. Large departments would have two of them sitting at the counter of the nurse's counter in the department. Smaller departments will have one of them, and their task is to be at the disposal of the staff whenever a staff member feels that he will be mechalel Shabbat for something that is not pikuach nefesh or not safek pikuach nefesh. And the rules in Shari Tzedek say that this staff member has to use the Katvan Shabbat. So, for instance, to distribute medications to the patient, a mistake here is an overt pikuach nefesh. It will be done by the RN, by the registered nurse. They, of course, don't do rounds. But as I told you, if a physician wants to write a follow-up note, non-urgent, these are not resuscitation orders. This is a routine daily round that is done every day, including on Shabbat, he would dictate the follow-up note to the Shabbos Goy. And it's the responsibility of the physician to review, to proofread it afterwards, and if there was any shibush, any error, especially a significant error, that will lead to misunderstandings in interpretation of orders of medications, he will correct it through the Shabbos Goy. So far, so good. We do it for 108 years. If you ask me, are you aware of any takala, of any danger, indirect danger to life, that someone, God forbid, lost his life because of this arrangement? The answer is no. Had I been aware of such a takala, I would stop it immediately. That's where I would go against the poskim. Because if I think that something is pikuach nefesh, and I'm aware of hospital life and what is pikuach nefesh, and the poskim admit, although they took numerous rounds with me through the hospital, including on Shabbat with Rabbi Neuberg a few years ago, it is my ultimate authority and responsibility to alert that something is being done that potentially can endanger life. But after making this statement, one cannot be sure that it happened without my knowledge. Because writing medical orders, or writing follow-up notes, or consultation notes that have to be absolutely understandable. Because if I write, I'm a liver specialist, and if I write a consultation note on a Shabbat, on a complicated liver case, and they use the Shabbos Goy to dictate to him, not talking about the fact that it takes a long time. Okay, this we have to do for the Shabbat. But I have to devote a lot of time in order to be sure that no error, significant error, error of implications happened during this dictation. And you expect it from the director of the hospital, and you expect it from every physician in the hospital, including the multitude, tinokot shenishbum, term is familiar to you, that we have. You take Gregory, who came from Uzbekistan a year ago to Israel. He can barely speak Hebrew. And he's the physician in charge on that Shabbat. Doesn't know what's a Shabbos Goy here. He barely knows what Shabbat is. And you tell him, you don't write on Shabbat, even not medical writing. You dictate it, and you have to review it, and it's your responsibility that what was being written is absolutely accurate. It's not easy. It's not easy to impose this ruling. So, although things are working for 108 years, there is one, I would say, in underestimation, that it's a feeling of discomfort that the hospital is dependent for its smooth functioning on Shabbat, on 60 Shabbos Goy. It's also an expenditure, but our expenses are so much in order to be 100% halachically kosher, that this is not an argument. Although my opponents, of course, suspect me that that's what's behind all my thesis. So I would like to save the 3 million shekels a year that we invest in paying salaries to this Katvanei Shabbat. But I'm declaring before you that it has nothing to do with it. It's the feeling of discomfort on the dependents. It's the constant fear from significant mistakes. It's the difficulties in imposing it on staff that are tinokot shenishbu, but it is our duty to supply this service to staff that would not come to work at Shaare Tzedek, because everybody who works at Shaare Tzedek has to work on Shabbat. Again, none of the patients and none of us would like the hospital to be run during Shabbat only by Arab doctors. Not because they are inferior. We have some excellent Arab doctors here. But it's a Jewish hospital with overwhelming majority of Jewish staff, with overwhelming majority of Jewish patients, and we have to keep the diversity of the staff and patients on Shabbat as well. But as long as the ruling doesn't change, as I told you at the beginning, we are going to obey, we impose as much as we can, and you can see, if you visit this hospital on Shabbat, you can see the Katvanei Shabbat all around. There are a few other aspects of Shabbat. So I discussed the Shabbos elevators and the grammar principle. But what about public areas? For instance, there are payphones in every floor of the hospital. Should they be disconnected on Shabbat? Or shouldn't they be disconnected on Shabbat? They are disconnected on Shabbat. Of course, today everybody has cellular phone. 20 years ago, when a member of Knesset from a left-wing party was a patient here and saw that the payphones, the public phones, were disconnected on Shabbat, he submitted to the Knesset Sheilta. How do you say Sheilta in English? Well, but it's a question that has legal standing that the minister has to answer. And the question was, how can we deprive patients who want to talk with their families, with their loved ones, to inform them that they deteriorated, that they are going to surgery on Shabbat? How can we deprive them of that? And I was asked, as director of the hospital, to phrase the response. And I phrased it that there are pay phones at the entrance, not on the campus, but at the entrance. It's 2 or 3 minutes walk for an urgent piece of information. Every patient can go to the Katvan Shabbat, to the Shabbos Goy at the counter, ask him, please call my family and tell them this and this. And it was barely accepted because, you know, that the majority of members of the Knesset is not dati, but nothing happened, nobody sued, and it went smoothly. Today it's a different story. No one used payphones. They are still disconnected, but who uses payphones today? Every patient comes with his or her own cellular phones. Now, the patient population of Shaarei Tzedek, I can say very proudly, is a reflection of our patient population, of the population of Jerusalem. Roughly speaking, very roughly speaking, one quarter ultra-Orthodox, one quarter define themselves as traditional, one quarter define themselves as Lodati, and one quarter Arabs. If you take the 800,000 people, 780,000 residing in the greater Jerusalem area, the Arabs has much higher percentage, not 25, but 32%. That's according to a recent census. But they have their own hospitals. There is Mukassed Hospital on Mount Olives. They deliver babies there. So they use us more for high risk. That's why their percentage is much lower. It's closer to 20%. But roughly speaking, that's our patient population. And what zchut do we have to ask everybody to shut off his cellular phone on Shabbat, and they get letters to that effect. So one has to be very careful after discussing, although very superficially, the pure halachic aspects, which are definitely much more important. We have to discuss issues like religious coercion. We want to keep Shaarei Tzedek open to everybody. These were the bylaws of the hospital, this is the law of the hospital, this is the basic halachic law, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. Shaarei Tzedek today is the largest hospital in Jerusalem. We surpassed this year Hadassah and Karem, although Hadassah has two campuses. We are the largest hospital. We are the only major hospital located in the center of the city. Do we want only ultra-Orthodox patients to come to us? I can even see, although this is too much of a pilpul, a trace of pikuach nefesh in the fact that we will ban completely the use of cellular phones on campus. How, if you want the pill? Because cellular phones are so important to patients now that some patients may consider not using our services if we do not allow cellular phones on Shabbat. If they don't use our services, they deprive themselves of top medical care. Depriving someone from top medical care is safek pikuach nefesh. So I have no ruling from the poskim on that. But we do not ban the use of cellular phones. I must tell you, I don't know if you will find yourself in the corridor, definitely not as patients, I'm talking about as visitors, in the corridors of Shaarei Tzedek on Shabbat, but the atmosphere is so different from any other hospital in Israel, any other public space in this public place in Israel. It is so calm, so tranquil, so quiet, that even those who use cellular phones go sideways, you know, to the outer porch. They do it betzina, because they don't want to change the atmosphere. And I get many letters of thank you for that from non-religious people, for the unique atmosphere in the corridors of Shaarei Tzedek on Shabbat. On the eighth floor, you hear the kol tfilah verina that comes from the shul that is packed with our patients who come to Daven on Shabbat. So we are very proud of this atmosphere, but I try to lay to you my hashkafa, where the border between keeping strictly the halacha and exercising religious coercion, which is unacceptable, where the border passes. So we use this last 45 minutes to shed some light on the unique aspects of this hospital, with the emphasis on halachic aspects, and to be more precise, on the Shabbat in Shaarei Tzedek. I'm sure that some of you agree with me, some of you disagree with me, but I am definitely ready to devote a few minutes to answer questions if you have any. So thank you for your attention. Please.
Some hospitals in America don't allow cell phones in any of the patient's rooms. So I'm not sure if that's because they're worried it's going to interfere with the machinery but you think you would maybe claim that it's something like that, that you could tell people?
Well, if you supply me with an argument, the effect on machinery was denied. I mean, it's there is no effect on machinery. We know it. What you suggest is to avoid religious coercion by banning it all through the week. That doesn't make sense to me. Israeli hospitals allow cellular phones. I believe that cellular phones are very essential for the feeling of security of the patients, for communications that they need for their psychosocial aspects of their disease, which promotes recovery. I agree that Israel in general is exaggerating in the use of cellular phones. So it's a very it's a very practical remark, the remark that you made. But if you talk on a principle issue, we are not going to ban something on Chol in order to be able to ban it on Shabbat. So if we were among these hospitals, I think even halachically it's not the right thing to do, but as I said, I'm not Talmid Chacham enough to say that, but as all hospitals in Israel allow the use of cellular phones, at least in the corridors. Yes, some of them ban it in the rooms. We don't. Most hospitals in Israel don't, because the impact on machinery is not true at all. I mean, this was checked. It was the beginning of cellular phones. We still don't know the answer if the use of cellular phones is significantly dangerous for health. But we do know that it's not dangerous for machinery. Yeah, please. Well, I said it. When the poskim, again, not upon my decision, that's for sure. I told you. I'm the commander in every aspect. I'm a simple soldier in the halachic aspect. I admit that. I'm not going to offend this unique aspect of the hospital. But as I said before, I believe that computers, first of all, hospitals are turning to be paperless. Some of our departments are already paperless. If it's a paperless hospital, so the poskim will have to rule that on Shabbat we will write with the Shabbos going, unless they will allow using computers on the grammar principles. Of course, they could come and say, make the Shabbos going, use the computers and print on the computers. But many of the modern computers have a component of artificial knowledge, you call it, Bina Melachutit, artificial intelligence. So when we manage today a delivery, it's not only typing on the computer the data regarding the Yoledet, regarding the mother. It's also typing medical data and asking the computer, should we proceed to cesarean section or should we give more Pitocin? Again, the final decision is the physician's. I cannot see a Shabbos goy, a student, first year student of history in the Hebrew University, coping with this. So sooner or later, the poskim will have to kosherize the computers. And I'm eagerly waiting for this day. Yes?
Where does this extra funding come from?
Where the extra funding come from? Well, if you want me to talk about the hospital budget in general, mainly from donations. Fortunately, we balance our budget, which amounts today to around $220 million a year, from Maasei Adenu, from Amal Kapeinu. We sell services. You know, Israel has a national health insurance law, the one that Obama is working so hard to enact in your country. We have it since 1911. Well, the law in its present form is only since 1995. But we have socialized medicine, which up until a few years ago was a dirty word in the U.S. and is becoming, it's differently today. Every Israeli citizen is entitled to a wide basket of services free of charge in return for health tax that he or she pays up to 4.8% from their gross salary. And in return for that, hospitals are selling services to the HMOs and the patients don't pay. So 92% of our budget comes from this source, from the money that we get for rendering services to enrollees of the various HMOs. We have, of course, indigent patients, less than in the States. They are mainly Palestinians who are not Jerusalemites, because the Palestinians who live in Jerusalem are Israeli citizens, so they are within the law. But if they come from Ramallah or from other places, we do not reject anybody. we admit everybody. For the religious services, it comes from donations.
And why would the government give you the extra 3 million shekels?
No, they won't. It comes from donations. I just said it's not coming from the government. We don't get money from the government at all. We get money for services that we sell. It's not to the government. It's the HMOs. Yes, please.
Okay, so families that are coming in on Shabbos, so we're talking about kashrus and then not bringing in food. So are the...
I didn't say not bringing in food.
Okay, but you said that you try not to have outside food. So are the cafeterias open on Shabbat and like the...
Nothing. Not the cafeteria, not the vending machines. Everything is closed on Shabbat, but we allow visitors on Shabbat to eat in our dining room. In the staff dining room, they have to pay either before Shabbat or we rely on them to pay after Shabbat. And that's a nominal fee. About 7% never pay. Yes, please.
You said you're one of the only religious hospitals in Israel. Does it have an effect?
I didn't say we are only religious.
I said one of the one of the only religious hospitals in Israel. So let's say a family comes in Erev Shabbat, and the staff is like is on a much smaller scale, and you only do the things that are necessary more on Shabbat. Like, is there
no,
a difference?
No, the staff is on the same scale as every day from 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning.
Like a
Sunday in an American hospital would not be different from a regular night. The same is in Shari Tzedek. And we will do everything. You don't do elective surgery, but like you said about cellular phones, no hospital in the world does on the Yom Menucha, they do elective surgery. You don't do hernia surgery in the States on a Sunday. So actually it's the same thing. I mean, we are very matpid that patients will not be deprived of any medical care because it is Shabbat. Yes, please.
What would you do in an indirect case of the first method? For example, if you have somebody who applies to be a head of the department here, who's a Jewish doctor, but he doesn't want to spend the time on Shabbos telling a non-Jew to write down for him. So on the one hand, he's the best doctor in the field, but on the other hand, he also won't agree to have a non-Jew write for him. So what would the hospital do, and is that under the post-kin jurisdiction or under your...
Where do you learn? Where do you study?
I'm in YU.
In YU? Pre-med school?
No.
You got the bylaws of your program probably before you started your first year, am I right?
Right.
Did you see in the bylaws, or do you sense that 100% of the laws in the bylaws are kept strictly?
No.
I'll tell you what's behind, because your question is a very good one. You have to find the balance. It's definitely my jurisdiction. The poskim, and I think I showed you in this lecture how much kavod and derech eretz I have to the poskim. They will not cross the doorstep of the hospital in order to deal with a physician. They will not cross, go to the doorstep of the hospital in order to deal with a certain individual physician. They don't want to do it and they are not allowed to do it. They deal with me or the rabbi of the hospital. The rabbi can definitely be a messenger between an individual physician when he have a shayla. But to cope with the head of the department who is not religious, we have 92 heads of departments and units, 50% of them are Shomrei Shabbat, 50% are not. Because in our tenders for senior physicians, we do not give any priority to Shomer Shabbat. Because if we give any priority to Shomer Shabbat, it's pikuach nefesh, because we are doomed to mediocrity. Not because religious physicians are inferior to non-religious, but our pool to select from is narrowed. So we have 50-50, and they know the rules, those who are not religious. They signed when they enter the hospital that they will keep it. Do they keep it 100% of the time? No. If it's brought to my attention that they don't, I will make a remark to them that does not reflect my personal belief that we don't need Shabbos going.
So it doesn't impact on the doctor that you can get here, the Shabbos?
Definitely not. I told you, this I see as an overt pikuach nefesh, more so than the cellular phones issue. If we will have to select here only religious employees, doctors, nurses, Shari Tzedek, naturally, with the atmosphere and the rulings and the halakha that I described to you during this lecture, is naturally attracting higher proportion of top doctors and nurses who are Shomrei Shabbat and would like to work in an atmosphere suitable with their Hashkafa. That explains the 50%. because nationally around 20% of doctors of Israel are Shomrei Shabbat, and in Shaarei Tzedek it's 50%. Okay, please.
So you were discussing a little bit like the parent-personal conflict in terms of, you know, socio-culturally and anthropologically versus what the halakha according to the book in this, right? So I'm just wondering, like, did you have any internal conflicts before you became
No, look, I was a head of department in Bellinson Hospital in Petah Tikva, which is a non-religious hospital. When the board of the hospital approached me to consider my candidacy, I did my homework. I knew that these are the rulings. And I was very sincere with you. Between my personal ashkafa on a cultural level or on an educational level, and the ruling of the poskim, I have no hesitance and no conflict at all. I do my utmost to convince the poskim to change their ruling. Giving these lectures and being very frank about my own hashkafa is part of this pressure on the poskim. And by the way, they know exactly. It's not that I tell you what I tell you and they don't know. Did you come to the auditorium last night? You were there? There was with Rav Osher Weiss? It was on Shabbat in Shaarei Tzedek. I said more or less what I told you, but he's a very busy man, so he came when I finished. He started his lecture by saying, I know exactly what Halevi told you, that he doesn't want Shabbos going, that he doesn't know. Now I'm going to convince you why we are not ripe for it. So there is no hypocrisy about it, and no conflict. Yes, please.
Just wondering, like, what's like the highest positions the Arabs over here serve? Like, is there any conflict?
The head of chest surgery. Is an Arab. The Arabs that rose, you know, to the high echelons, rose the ladder of Shaarei Tzedek to fulfill key positions here, are 100% professional, no less than the Jews, devoted to their patients, Arabs or Jews, not less than the Jews, and devoted to the hospital, no less than Jews. So the most prominent example is Dr. Maher Dib, who is the head chest surgeon. And I can only tell you by chance, if you go to our website tonight, and you SZMC, Shaarei Tzedek Medical Center, .org.il, you will see pictures from a celebration of a bris yesterday. It took place yesterday in Chicago. A baby born to a girl named Shaina Gould. Some of you know the story. Shaina Gould, who during the Intifada here, came to the hospital clinically dead from rupture of her lung. She bled to death into her chest. And she was rushed from the ambulance, bypassing the emergency room, up to the 10th floor where Dr. Maher Dib resected her lung. And she celebrated. She was clinically dead. She was resuscitated, resected her lung, bleeding was stopped, and yesterday, 5 years later, she was an 18-year-old girl then, there was the bris of her child with a big thank you speech of her to Dr. Maher Dib. I was very specific in answering you because I can sense that what stood behind your question was a certain level of skepticism. That's why I gave you an unequivocal answer. Okay, yes.
It's a purely technical question. Jews who are here on Shabbos, they have a place to stay?
Yeah. Yes, the answer, every Jew, especially those who are discharged from emergency, we suggest to them not to be discharged at all, or if they are discharged, they will get the medical report on Motzei Shabbat, or the medical report will be written by the Shabbos Goy, but they are invited, if they don't live in Beit Vagan, they are invited to stay, and we have a special place for them.
Are there the non-Jewish doctors who work here, they have to follow the same rules as the Jewish doctors?
Halachically, they don't. Well, they don't.
Right, that's what
no, Ulo Ben Brit. Some people say they wish we had more of them, so we'll not need Shabbos going that are not professionals. Yeah. But let's not go that far. Yes, please.
Besides reflective surgery, if someone comes to the hospital and they have a minor cold or they have a joint out of socket, would you give them medicine to help them feel better?
Halachically, you can give. Yes, shrikat samemanim. But of course, if your next door neighbor comes to you with a headache on Shabbat, what will you tell him? There is an halachic way to treat a suffering patient on Shabbat. Okay, thank you very much for your attention and enjoy your stay. Hi everyone.
This doesn't need to be recorded. Whose recorder is this?
And the